Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today. Tonight is going to be the conclusion to what we started last week. So excited that you're here tonight, those that are listening by live feed tonight and those that will be listening in the days ahead on podcast. We're honored that you guys are tuned in. Tonight will be the final conclusion of the message, strategic setup. Say that with me. Say strategic setups, or AKA, if you've been born in church and raised in church, you know this as divine appointments. How many know what divine appointment is? Yes, we get excited, especially people that have been in the church for a really long time. I kind of joked about this, but I don't think you understand. People that have been in church for a really long time, they get real excited when you say, I'm going to preach a message about divine appointment. Why? Because they're peeking around the corner. Ooh, what's in it for me? What God's got for me? What? How am I going to get my promotion? Who's God going to send my way to elevate me? You know what I'm saying? Preach it, brother. Amen. Everybody, the church gets excited. And people haven't been in church, they're like, divine appointment. What is that? Well, I call it strategic setup, strategic setup. And this message really is a mind-altering or a mind-shifting message. And that's what I really wanted to do for you. And I say that because instead of us being a Christian that always looking for a handout, we should become that Christian with something in our hands looking for opportunities to give it away. Okay, I'm not talking about money or do this for me. I'm saying instead of us looking for handouts, instead of us looking around the corner for somebody to be the divine appointment, we should have something in our hands always looking for an opportunity to give that away. How many knows what that is? His name is Jesus. We should always be looking for opportunities to give that away. And if our lives are surrendered to Christ, I just bit my lip and that hurt really, really bad. If there's no sense in me up here faking tears, you'd be like, oh, he's really getting into that message. Bless his heart. No, I bit my lip and it hurt. Bless my heart. Bless my lip. We should always be looking for opportunities to give Christ away. And I was thinking about that. Somebody said, well, what do you mean by that? I was thinking this afternoon when I was studying in the book of Mark chapter 16. Don't turn there because you're going to recognize this verse. Mark 16, 15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, some of y'all already just deleted yourself out and said, preach. Well, that's for you. That's because you're a preacher. That's what you do. No. Every one of us are preachers, whether you believe it or not. Every one of you live a message. And the greatest message that you can live out for anybody else, it's not running around with your Christian t-shirt with your Forward sticker on the back of your car that'll cause you to make sure road rage doesn't find you guilty. Hello. And bracelets that say Jesus is Lord and all those different things. That's not the message. That it's cool as long as your lifestyle is living up to that. But the greatest message that you can preach is one that is a life surrendered, yielded, and available to Jesus Christ. So last week we start unpacking this concept of what a strategic setup looks like. And we were looking in the book of Acts. You can go ahead and turn there. Book of Acts chapter 8. We're not going to go where we started last week, which was verse 26. For time's sake, we're going to trim that out a little bit. But we saw this story, and it's a really, really cool story. It's about Philip, who is an evangelist, and he was actually in a revival. I'm just kind of bringing those that weren't here up to speed. And he was in another town, and all of a sudden he heard an angel who told him to go to the road that leads to Gaza, okay? And I talked about how we take that message where the angel said, go to the road that leads to Gaza, and we think God's going to send us to Gaza, so we just go ahead and veto out the rest of whatever he wanted us to do, and we start heading to Gaza. But the Bible did not say, the angel did not tell him to go to Gaza. It said, go to the road that leads to Gaza. So that's what we got to make sure we're doing. We've got to make sure that we're very strategic in listening to directions. Can I say that again? We need to be very strategic in listening to directions. We try to get the big picture when Lord knows we'd mess all that up. So he says, I need you to go to the road that leads to Gaza. When he gets there, he sees that the angel then, or the Holy Spirit, impresses on him to then go. He sees a chariot, and it's a eunuch in there, and he's reading the scripture, okay? And we're going to pick up this story right here in verse 30, if you'll go there with me, chapter 8, verse 30. Says, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And so he said, do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. Verse 31, how can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of scripture. This is what he was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. We're going to stop right there. Everybody say strategic setup. Everything that God has done up to this moment in time, October 12th, 2016, everything that God has done in your life and in my life has been very strategic, which tells me that everything that God's going to do in your life, everything that God's going to do through this ministry, everything that God's going to do in my life will be very strategic and on purpose. How is God's plan going to be executed? How is that strategic plan going to be executed? I gave you that point last week, and I'm going to bring it up on the screen again. Here it is. Point number one, God's plan is man. Always has been, always will be. I said last week that the world is always looking for methods and how to do things and how to do it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the way God operates is God is looking for a man. The world is always looking for a method, but God is always looking for a man. Say this with me. Say, God wants to use me. How many told yourself that this week? You probably didn't, but amen. God wants to use me. God wants to use me in his plan. God wants to use me. One of the greatest challenges for me in my life that prevents me from being all that God wants me to be and doing all that God wants me to be is, you guessed it, me. I am the greatest. I am the greatest challenge, and I don't mean in a way where, you know, I psych myself up. I'm talking about I talk myself out of it. I'm not talking about, yeah, you got this, boy. God wants to use you. No. You don't have this. Do you really understand what your limitations are? You've never even went to seminary yet. You're preaching the word. I mean, all this stuff, right? I talk myself out of being all that God wants me to be and doing all that God wants me to do. And instead of looking where we are, instead of looking at our surroundings and our circumstances, instead of us focusing on where it is we are, we should be focusing on where it is that God wants us to be. It's what we have to have in our journey and our life. It's called faith. Instead of us being Captain Obvious and seeing the condition of our city, seeing the condition of our town, seeing the condition of my neighborhood, it is time for me to focus on how it can be. Instead of us focusing on the condition of our marriage, instead of us focusing on the condition of our relationships, perhaps we should see what God wants for our marriage and what God wants for our relationships and who he wants us to be around. Instead of looking at the negative, we should be looking at how God sees things. Listen, Philip could have ignored the angel. Here he is at a revival. He could have ignored the angel, but he understood the principle that God wanted to use him. We've all been there. How many knows you want to, wherever God's at, you're in a revival and God's moving, you want to hang out there. No, nobody want to leave and go, but he didn't even tell him what he was supposed to do when he got there. He just said, go to the road. Okay, so I'm going to go here and hang out. Why would I want to do that? Who's going to tweet about that? Oh, you want me to go minister to a eunuch who's been castrated? That's real fun. Who's going to tweet that? Who's going to share that on Facebook? What flyer am I face going to be on? Single dude helps eunuch. Like Let me slow down. There is nothing impressive about that. There's no likable factor about that, okay? And that's how we are. Many times we're cool with the things God says, I want you to do this because the spotlight's on us and because I get to hold a microphone and because I get to show out. But when God calls me to step away from the light and begin doing things that nobody else see, we're not too hip to that. Y'all sit there and be quiet like that ain't got nothing to do with y'all. I know better. Because I got the same blood flowing through my veins that you do. And I know my flesh and your flesh, we like the light. But there are times that God is calling us to do things that don't nobody will ever know except for him. And we got to be okay with that. Got to be okay with that. Listen, there's moments in Scripture, and we see it throughout Scripture, that where God couldn't find a man. In the wilderness, God brings water to the Israelites by a rock. In another story, he wanted to call Moses into leadership, so he used a burning bush. Now, if God wanted to speak to us, it wouldn't be through a burning bush. It'd be through a burning television set or a burning smartphone. Hello. Somebody say, I don't understand what you're saying. What I'm trying to say is God can't get through because my face is all up in the book. And I ain't talking about the B-I-B-L-E. Even though that's the book for me. There's another story of Balaam, who was a prophet who had given up on God. Ever been there? You step out, you do things, you felt like God called you, and it ain't working out like you, so you give up on God. I've been there sometimes. I visit that landscape quite frequently. So, but what did God do? He wanted to get his attention, so he used a donkey. Y'all know what another name for a donkey is. I'm real religious, so I won't say it. Y'all fill in the blank. Listen, if God can use a bush, he can use you. If God can use a rock to bring water to the Israelites, God can use you. If God can use a donkey, God can use you. In spite of all your faults, in spite of all my failures, in spite of all the stuff that I do wrong, God still chooses to use me. Now the caveat is, it's because I remain yielded. That doesn't mean I always get it right, but my heart is always yielded. That's the part you got to make sure you've got down. It doesn't mean you've got to have it all together, because the moment we stumble, we miss something, and we stub our toe and say something, the enemy goes, see there, he disqualifies you. But what God says is, if your heart is still turned towards me, God can still use that. And God still wants to use you. Say, God still wants to use me. God can use you. So what's the first step in making sure that I'm there? This is point number two, that we live life. I already gave this to y'all last week, like 500 times. Live life available. Live life available. Are you available for a strategic setup? Now, remember what I said, mind shift. It's not God setting something up for you. Are you available for God to allow you to be used to set something up for someone else? Okay, again, Christians, we real good about looking out for number one. But we got to be like Jesus. And he's saying, will you surrender, and will you be available so that I can use you to set someone else up with no strings attached? No strings attached. Are you available? Listen, Philip catches this revelation that God wants to use him. He moves from knowing his ability. Oh, he's a teacher. He's in the middle of a revival. He moves from knowing his ability to acknowledging his availability. And then he becomes obedient. And he comes to the road that leads to Gaza. So not only do we have to live life available. There's a lot. Church is full. If I was to come down and put the mic in front of you and say, are you available? Absolutely, I'm available. But the next part is, are you living a life of obedience? That's point number three. Are you living a life of obedience? Living a life of obedience. Philip left a revival to go find one guy. Nothing cool about that. He's in the middle of revival. God is using him. That's where I'd want to stay. But we've got to be so tuned to the voice of God that if he says, I know things are great right here, but I got to move you out. Remember what I said last week? Instead of us praying for revival, God, we need your revival. We need to come to an understanding that we are revival. Revival is on the inside of us. Instead of us getting in our war room and duking it out and praying, nothing wrong with that. We're supposed to be that. But there comes a time where you got to get up off that floor and recognize that there's change in me. God sees you extravagantly, and he wants to do extravagant things in your life. He does. So there's got to come a point where we go, when I show up on this road where there ain't nobody else but a eunuch, I am revival. God, I am God's plan. Now, I don't mean get crazy and cocky with it, okay? And that can happen. You've got, but if you, as long as you're staying yielded, knowing I'm just part of God's plan, I just want to be his hands and his feet and his mouthpiece. Amen? So we got to live a life of obedience. I mean, he's probably thinking, dude, God, angel, hello, I'm leading a revival, but he was obedient. I wrote this down. You will never step into obedience until the moment you actually do something you don't want to do. That's obedience. Oh, I'm obedient. You never experience the moment of obedience until you actually do something you don't want to do. Oh, I'm available as long as it's what I want to do. Oh, I'm available to the church. When the church recognizes that I got a gift and I can be used, but my gifting ain't in the parking lot, it's on the platform. Oh, yeah, all through the ages, people have left churches because the church didn't see their ability and their gifting. Because they was too good to serve in the parking lot and hold an umbrella in the rain to help mama and grandma across the parking lot. But they would have been real good holding the microphone up in the light. You got to be available. You got to be available, and you got to be obedient. And sometimes obedient, not sometimes. All you don't know exactly what obedience is until you actually execute something that you didn't want to do. That's obedience. Honey, take out the trash. I don't want to. That's obedience. Yes. Yes, Amy, I'll take the trash out. Because my girls will tell you in a minute. That's not a girl job. That's a boy job. Ansley Grace will tell you, that's not what girls do. That's what boys do. Okay, moving right along. Newsflash, hot newsflash. Listen, delayed obedience is still disobedience. Just because you delay it a little bit, that's still disobedience. We got to be available and we got to be obedient to whatever it is God wants us to do. Listen, for many of you, the Spirit of God has prompted you and pushed you, and your response has been, I don't want to. I don't want to go work with the kids. I don't want to work at guest services. I don't want to hand out VIP cards on Sunday mornings. Half the time there ain't no VIP, so what am I standing back there for? Well, how many people are you bringing to church? She's not here tonight, but Nicole that works at Walmart, I'm telling you what, every Sunday and just about every Wednesday, she's bringing somebody with her. Oh, and they're not just first-timers in one time. They're coming every time. So how many are you bringing? If I went around the room tonight and said, why are you at Ford Church? Why are you here? Probably more than half of you would say, because I got a text, I got an invite, somebody. And that's cool, but for all the rest of us in here, we think that God is just miraculously going to speak through the heavens, down through the portals to Cross City and Chieflin and Cedar Key and all these other areas around us. Thou shalt go to the old Walmart store and receive a word from God. But yet we got invites, but we think that's how it's going to happen. Could he do that? Absolutely. But guess what? It'd be totally contradicting this message. And it's this. God has a plan and you are that plan. Not just a part of it. You are that plan. All the way from the very beginning of time, God created the heavens and the earth and man and woman. His plan has always been man. It's always been man. Listen, and he's not a puppeteer. He's not up there, you know, no. Okay, God, I'll do whatever you want me to. He's not out there doing this right here and making it work out. Now lift your hands when the worship leader says lift your hand. No, he wants to know, will you do that on your own? Oh, but I remember Pastor Bradley was telling me, say things that I've never said. Matter of fact, I don't think I've talked to him today. Listen, if you're not talking to God every morning, you're setting yourself up for failure for that day. I'm not saying you got to get beside your bed in 35 minutes and you're looking at the carpet, trying to figure out, God, I'm just down here, and, you know, I'm supposed to be spending time with you. And no, if you can just say, God, I acknowledge you in my life, and today, whatever, I don't even know what's going to happen to me today, but whatever it is, God, I trust you, and may my ears be tuned to your voice so that wherever you want me to go, if it's the road that leads to God, Cedar Key, or wherever you want me to go, I'm available, and I'm obedient, even though, or even when I don't want to be, even if it doesn't make sense. How many of us, a lot of times when, 99.9% of the time when God asks you to do something, it don't make no sense. It don't. His ways are higher. His thoughts for you are higher. God's hoping that you won't just be available, but you'll be obedient. Listen, when you invite somebody to church, when you mix what you can do and we put God's supernatural on that and we're believing for God to come in, I'm telling you, lives will be changed. That's what we're believing. It's not to grow a church. We're trying to get a healthy church. It's not about having a lot of people. It's about having healthy people. It's not about having a bunch of families and a bunch of marriage and a bunch of kids back there so we can say we got over 100 kids in nursery. No, no, no. We're trying to have healthy marriages. Oh, he's just about growing the church. No, no, no. It's about having a healthy church. Just so happens that people like healthy churches. So they come. So don't mistake it's about numbers. No, no, no. It's about growing people and creating a healthy environment for them to grow in. One thing I've learned is that as you step out, God will meet you in the middle. When you step out from where you are, your comfort zone, wherever, whatever you're doing, and God says, no, but I need you to slip out and come over here. And he didn't even know who he was supposed to see. He just said, go to the road, and he hung out. But as soon as he got there, his assignment was already waiting on him. That's the cool thing about God. I understand witnessing and sharing and going, but I'm a firm believer. I would rather not waste my time. I'm a firm believer that God will set up for you the person that you're needing to minister to. We just saw it in this passage of scripture. The dude was already reading Isaiah. I want you to go minister to that dude. You know what luck it would be? Me? Be some dude with tattoos all over the place and smelling like a brewery and smoking pot probably at the same time. Jesus wants me to tell you, he loves you. Oh, I know he does. That would be the guy that I'd get. I know y'all like it. You really over there in front of Trey like he's that man? No, I didn't mean it that way. That'd be the guy that I'd get. But almost every time in Scripture, even when it was Jesus meeting the woman at the well, she was already prepped and ready. When Elijah, which one was the older one? Elijah, thank you. When Elijah walked by, y'all know the story. It just blows my mind. Elijah just walks by and puts his cloak on him and keeps on walking. He didn't say nothing to him. And in that moment, Elisha ran to him and said, let me burn everything I got. I want to follow you. That was a strategic setup moment. He was already ready. I mean, if somebody came by and put their coat on me and I wasn't prepared for it, I'd be like, bro, it's Florida. I ain't cold. You know what I'm saying? But he was ready. And I believe that's how God works. If we'll be so in tune to him, Jesus, when he walked this earth, there was never a wasted moment. Everything he said and everything he did was on purpose, and it always created results. Take him to a wedding party, he produces wine. Take him to a funeral, that ain't a funeral no more. Everything he did was on purpose, and it had a purpose. Do you believe that tonight? It's interesting to me about this story with the eunuch, and I'm coming to a close. It interests me to know that he was already in the scripture. The eunuch was already in the scripure. Listen, and what did he say? Philip asked him, he said, do you understand what you're reading? How many just honestly say, there's times I read the scripture and I really ain't even got a clue. That's because you got to be like Pastor B and just get that old Bible Sunday school little kitty with the pictures, pretty pictures, glossy. Y'all remember them? Sometimes the student Bible just helps me right on through. Then they came up with the Message translation. Love that. Because I found out that you can have the scripture in front of you, but if you've never encountered the God who wrote the scripture, it will not change you. If you've never encountered Christ, reading this every day, getting beside your bed, doing 35 minutes of yoga, 35 minutes of devotions, will not change you. You may look good with your abs after up and down every day, but it won't change you until you have an encounter with the one who wrote it. That's why our churches are filled with people who are attached to a religion but know absolutely nothing about relationship. See, That's relationship. When I have an encounter with Christ, that's why our churches are full of people who have no life transformation. Oh, they come and they'll give tithe and they'll serve and they'll give. But guess what? That's just a religion. Without an encounter of Christ, there will be no change. Change only happens through relationship. I could have married Amy and done all the things that the book told me I was. I'm not talking about this book. I'm talking about the one that tells you how to be a perfect husband. Whatever. Amy's like, I need him to reread that again. I could have read all that stuff. All I would have gotten is information. But it was until I got attached to this book and it told me exactly what love is. It doesn't keep record of wrong. It's not jealous. It doesn't boast. Once I had a relationship with God and I saw how it's supposed to be, then our marriage was transformed. Again, it doesn't mean I'm always going to get it right. And no, I'm not the perfect husband. I hate to burst your bubble. But I'm striving every day. Because I have more than just a method. I'm connected to the man. See, remember what I said? The world looks for methods. You can do all the research for perfect relationships and marriages. That's a method. But when you connect with the man and have an encounter, oh, then change will come. Change will come. Change will come. This guy went to Jerusalem to worship God, but only encounter religion and has yet to encounter Christ through a relationship. And you can go on and see where he invites and leads this eunuch to Jesus. He was reading the scripture, but there was no change. Didn't even understand what he was reading. Tell you what, I don't want to be wasting my time coming to church if there's not a change in my life. I'm investing in the church. I'm looking for change. I'm looking for a harvest. So I'm sowing seeds. I'm not talking about money. Don't get nervous. I'm talking about I'm sowing my time. I'm sowing my resources. I am sowing my money. I'm doing all this. I'm looking for a harvest. I need change. Whatever you want to see, sow to that. Okay? It was in that moment that he began to share Jesus that he was saved. God's plan for humanity is you. I said this last week. God's plan for this area, God's plan for this city is you. You can come to church all day long, but God's not looking for you just to warm a seat. He's wanting to know, will you be available and will you be obedient? Okay? He's looking for people who are available. But not just available in convenience, but obedient when it is not convenient. Okay? What's the purpose of this message? To move you and I from a place of just proclaiming, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, praise the Lord. To move us from a place of proclaiming our faith to being obedient, actively pursuing our faith. There's a difference. I can wear the t-shirt, y'all can know I'm from Forward Church, I can post all day long, all the little Bible quotes and all the little scriptures, and every time my Bible app comes up, I can share that. Oh, he's just a man of God. Bless his heart. I can do all that all day long, but you'll see no fruit in my life, because the first time something goes wrong, pew, and that's where some of you may have been. Maybe you're there tonight. First time something goes wrong. Pew. He wants to move us from just proclaiming, I'm a Christian, I live by faith. No, he wants to know, walk it out. Walk it out. Walk it out. We got to recognize that we are carriers of the life-transforming power of Jesus Christ. Listen, if we truly believe that the blood would never lose its power, we would be bringing everything we had to Jesus. If we really believe that old song, I was singing it around the house today. If we really believe that the blood of Christ changed everything, we would be bringing all of our family, all our kin, dogs, cats, all that stuff. And I'll leave them out at the people next door. They'll feed them. They'd leave little cups and everything out there. Bless their heart. Listen, if we really believe that Jesus had the power and his blood had the power to change our circumstances, it wouldn't have to be no cheerleading squad up here talking about raise your hand, lift your hands. Well, I just don't feel like it. You raise your hands. If we really believe, bring that music down, just all the way down, all the way down. I was singing that song around the house today. This, listen, if we really believe the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, it was the blood, and it gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power, 'cause it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. It was the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. If we really believed that the blood would never lose its power, availability wouldn't be an issue. Obedience wouldn't be an issue. When I blow it, God looks at the heart. What's the purpose of the message tonight? To shift our thinking and our mindset from being lookers around the corner of what's the divine appointment for me, to looking around the corner because I have my hands full of a substance that someone else needs and I'm looking for opportunities to give it away. That's what Forward Church is about. That's what the church is to be about. It's not about you. It's not about me. Not about a stage. Not about a name. Only one name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Kelly, will you come close us out in prayer tonight?
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.